Welcome to Notepad. This is a brand new week, and of course, we shall start with brand new ideas and fresh ideas. A lot of big companies, both in Malaysia as well as globally, are always trying to find ways to optimize their automation process in pursuit of cost optimization, and of course, trying to get a good grasp on how we shall move forward for 2021. We understand that the new normal is here, and a lot of companies are trying to manage every aspect of their business, one of which is, of course, trying to see or trying to strike partnerships with technology partners. In such case, one big company that we have been talking about over the past few days is, of course, Farmaniaga. Farmaniaga is in the news. They are in the forefront of the healthcare industry in Malaysia. They do fill and finish for the coronavac virus produced by Sinovac. And of course, in its pursuit of trying to achieve optimization, they are also trying to partner with good partners, particularly technology partners, to automate their processes and processes. Joining me, of course, is their partner right now, is Oracle Malaysia, Jasbir Singh, the Vice President of Applications. Join us. Jasbir, let's talk a little bit more about the fusion business of Oracle before we jump into all the nitty-gritty stuff of Farmaniaga.
Okay. I think just a quick one will be the introduction to Oracle. Oracle, we've been around, I think originally was known as a database company. We're looking back in the 1980s. Today we are a 40 billion revenue company, about 140,000 employees worldwide. We've got about close to half a billion, I would say, customers globally, right? That ranges from large corporations to SMEs and mid-sized companies from various industries. You mentioned, you know, Farmaniaga is one of them, but in Malaysia also, we've got large oil and gas companies, large banks also, who are moving, actually transforming themselves and moving into what currently is the core of Oracle's business, which is around software as a service, right? We spent close to about $70 billion since 2004 on our journey to actually create what we call as a technology for the future. It was not built overnight. From 2004, we have spent about $70 billion R&D. We also spent $80 billion in acquisition of companies.
Yes,
also.
Of course. Yeah. Which is rather what I call normal for a company of your size. And we call it as an OG of Silicon Valley, I would call it. And that pursuit of spending billions into acquisitions does take in a lot of new technologies. But of course, the story of Oracle is a much deeper, more nuanced story than that.
Yes.
It's how you keep up to date and servicing your clients. In far-flung economies like Malaysia, from, of course, Silicon Valley, we always talk about how you can integrate your own internal processes with that to bring forward to the clients. Mm-hmm. How has that changing of technologies over the past few, I guess, decades bring about that whole notion of services that you have right now, which is Fusion?
Yeah. So Fusion is the brand of what we call as our software as a service. Mm. Now, there has been a transitioning, right? More and more companies are now very much focused on their core business. For example, Farmaniaga, their objective is to focus on drug distribution. So they don't want to get involved into the nitty-gritty of the technology side of it. So that's where Oracle comes in. So our job is to give our customers the latest and greatest, looking at what's happening from an overall ecosystem. Today, if you look at right now, we're all using mobile phone. There's GPS and there's IoT and there's going to be 5G soon. So why would a company like Farmaniaga want to invest into technology, right? Into building the technology, building a whole infrastructure. They would rather just go and consume that like a utility. So that's the way Oracle is working right now. We are providing, like for example, they want logistics as a service. They want to track each truck, what is the temperature with the inside the truck right now as it's moving the vaccines across the whole of Malaysia. Now, to build that by themselves will take them easily about 2 to 3 years.
Plus they're not a logistic company, they're not a tech company, they are a pharmaceutical company.
Yes, and so what they do is they consume that as a service from us, and it takes us about 4 to 5 months just to implement, configure, get their drivers, get their people trained up and start consuming that and immediately straight get down to what the main objective is, which is to distribute the vaccines as soon as possible to people like you and me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm waiting for my Sejahtera to tell me when I'm going to be eligible right now.
There's a lot of sensitivity to it in terms of cold chain management.
Yep.
And that involves in the largest idea of supply chain management. And of course, everything is crucial. If a spoiled batch gets spoiled, if a batch gets spoiled, that's it. That's the end of it.
Yep.
How do you ensure that that whole integrity of the system is constantly, I don't know how to put it, online, active, but you know, 100% deliverable?
The if you really look at the healthcare business, right, it's an ecosystem, right? And companies like Pharmaniaga and others, right, are only one part of the overall value chain. Then you've got the healthcare, you've got the hospitals, you've got the patients, you've got the doctors and everything. Right? Where Oracle is coming to play right now is we're very much providing technology and solutions to every single part of the value chain. No company can say that I will take care of from the manufacturing of the vials and the vaccines all the way down to the patient's ID. So you cannot have that. So you have to bring the whole ecosystem together, and Oracle plays a very important part, right, in providing technologies to every single stages of this one.
Mm.
I'll give you an example. Current trend right now we are looking at right now is how do you put data out there? Everyone is worried about, oh, security, cybersecurity. Half of us don't actually realize that half of our data is already out there in the cloud. We are using iPhone, we are using things like Fitbits and stuff like that. All our data is out there in the cloud, right? The idea here is how you take all this data, process it, and let it make sense for the doctors so that they can make the right decisions to their patients. And that's where Oracle is coming in right now, into providing artificial intelligence, blockchain capabilities, and all these new trends that we're seeing to this ecosystem.
The importance of supply chain management, enterprise resource planning is paramount. A lot of companies get that, but the transformation journey is always problematic when it comes to large organizations, particularly if an organization has many subsidiaries, a lot of employees, thousands, tens of thousands, in fact. And that whole process of transformation costs money and time. And of course, you don't just fix the car while the car is dead. You got to fix the car while the car's in, the engine is running and delivering stuff, right? So it's always impossible to wrap your heads around the transformation process and make it seamless. How do you help that with your clients, particularly these large size organizations?
The fastest way right now is we have to understand right now we're living in a world where we've got millennials, we've got people who are trained, where user interfaces like Siri, voice activated, touch, and from your mobile phone, doing more of your work, whether you are sitting in Starbucks or you're sitting outside in your lobby just now, right? So all these things come into play to make the adoption. It's a cultural shift. So whether you are in an oil and gas company or whether you are in a healthcare, right? The good thing is that the current workforce is coming are already kind of, we can say, IT savvy. They understand about collaboration. They understand about sharing of information. They understand about user interfaces. They know how to work, right? They need those tools. That's why you cannot take software companies who had the 1980s, 1990s kind of a capabilities, get it hosted somewhere, and then try to call it.
It doesn't work, right?
Yeah. Because it's still the same old thing.
Mm.
The good thing is that you know, with my customers in Malaysia right now, what we are seeing is right that the generation that is coming, right, we used to call this big buzzword called change management. Right now, it's all around basically cultural it's just an adaptation to the what's around us, right? So Oracle is pushing more and more software right now with much, much emphasis on the user interface. Either you use Alexa or use Siri, or you speak to your phone, or you just touch and stuff like this, right, to let people do their business processes easily.
Mm.
That's why adoption in cloud software is much, much more rapid compared to the traditional, you know, you get in consultants to do business process re-engineering and everything. But nowadays, it's acceptable. Like, for example, right now, you don't have to tell people you got to download an app. Common sense. For me to access, I need to download an app. Or with new trends like HTML5, you don't need an app. You can just go and click on it, and that's it. You're working.
Yeah. There is also this element of, well, it's funny that you mentioned change management, because optimal companies tend to exercise that all the time. They consistently change. But that whole focus of user adoption, good user interface, the heuristic element to it, there seems to be a lot of humanities involved, not just tech per se.
Yes.
How does that come into place? Do you guys hire a lot more, I don't know, psychologists or something like that?
I would say yes. One part you can say is psychologists, right? But at our user experience lab, right, we do have sensors that observe that when a screen pops up, right, what is the first reaction of the human being? Like, generally, either you're looking at it from top to bottom, and you're going to scroll upwards because you're going to look at approvals this way, right? Or if it's a business process, you're going to go and do something, and then you're going to do swipe this way because it's a next. So business processes go this way.
Mm.
So there are a few things that has become natural, that for people to scroll is this way, and people to do a business process is from left to right. So we do a lot of research into, not only that, also into digital assistance. So all our software as a service, right, whether it's an ERP or a HR system, right, we are moving more and more towards that you just touch on a digital assistant and you just either text it or you can speak and let the transition gets translated and then the answer is given to you. Simple, okay, you just touch a digital assistant, where's the nearest clinic? So the digital assistant knows that you're not feeling well. It'll also then prompt you, do you want to apply for leave? Now that's what we call smart. So that's what makes the user adoption right faster. So now you've got generation three of digital assistants. Then you've got artificial intelligence embedded. What Oracle is doing is we do not want our customers to hire data scientists. Leave the basic artificial intelligence, things that are common across, whether you are a procurement department in Astro or your procurement department in, let's say, another company in Malaysia, a PO is still a PO. You still need to approve a PO. Those basics are still there.
Yeah.
But what we are doing is we are.
But it used to come in triplicates, but now it's now it's on your phone.
Now you can approve a PO. You can even then attach a PO to either if your security allows, put it over WhatsApp and push that out, get it responded. So all these things, right? It's not just the Oracle only, but Oracle's ability to work with the likes of the WeChats, the WhatsApps, and other things, right? So that's why the next generation is going to be cloud-to-cloud integration, right? The distributed cloud architecture, right? That's what the future will be. Like, for example, do you right? Pharmaniaga is one. You can say Pharmaniaga Cloud. Then they're also working with, let's say, the Ministry of Health, where they've got their own cloud. That interoperability, that's what Oracle is doing, right? We're not only just working as a standalone, but also we work with other industry players to see how do we bring all these services together to be consumed into a single global platform.
The natural argument now would be on data security. We're looking at data points and endpoints being increased exponentially. And then, of course, everything's automated. There seems to be no human interaction whatsoever in these processes. Where are you guys at in terms of data security? I'm sure you're spending a lot of money there, but seriously, the conversation has to be that moving forward.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, right? I look at it this way, right? It's our bread and butter. Oracle's bread and butter, if you look at Google or you look at Microsoft, their bread and butter is this one. And we all actually invest a lot into the cybersecurity side of things, into data encryption. This is our bread and butter. That's the reason why sometimes when I talk to my customers and when they raise this concern about security, right? And the only way to make it fast and quick, right, is the amount of certification we go through. Our data center, we do have like rooms for auditors because at any point in time, in any day, either from a healthcare perspective, HIPAA auditors will be there. If it's going to be, let's say, the government security, they'll have their auditors there. So we've got it's a very strict process. So there's certification, there's audits. In Malaysia right now, I've actually provided my software as a service, right, to seven institutes which are governed by Bank Negara, and I've gone through seven rounds of their, RMIT, it's known as RMIT, that means risk management, IT and outsourcing, from the exposure document to now, which is a policy. And the great thing is Bank Negara updates their documents. So every time when my customer wants to go and move their planning and budgeting system to the cloud, we work with them, we go through all the guidelines and we work. And what's interesting is, right, I can see that every year, when I'm with a customer, the requirements are getting stricter and stricter from, your password. Nowadays you've got password, must be 8 characters, must have special characters.
I can build a new password myself.
Exactly, right? But the thing is this is what the regulators require, right? So, and the encryption technology is growing. Now, with IoT, imagine this, there's going to be billions of IP addresses out there. Every single endpoint you got to protect. But you're going to protect every endpoint. But what you do is you put edge computing so that at least there is some sort of a security. But one thing that no cybersecurity, especially if you give your password away to somebody else,
game over.
But artificial intelligence can pick that up. how come this person is logging in? I'm sure you've seen in Google, right? If you go and log in, right?
It's irritating sometimes.
It's irritating, but it's protecting you.
Yeah.
Right? If you are doing a transaction on your Citibank card or any other bank, right? You're in different parts. There's a pattern to it. So that's why artificial intelligence takes trillions and terabytes of data, analyzes that, and gives you a response immediately. And that's where Oracle is. We are more into, in the cloud, you have a lot of compute power, right? So that's why that compute power can be used to drive artificial intelligence that brings new things, right? From digital assistants to even, I think, right, the next thing in healthcare will be that when a doctor writes his charts, right, that chart needs to be transformed into codes, which then goes into billing, right? You need AI for that because you don't have doctors spending hours writing charts. They will rather spend time with the patient.
The patient, exactly.
And that's where the industry is going to.
So, look, you're behind you, there's like a lot of applications, a lot of technology and a lot of systems that you can present to your clients. And of course, your clients are a myriad of, comes from a myriad of industries, from healthcare, banking, oil and gas, you name it, right? And of course, services. How do you package that in a way where what you're offering them or what you want to give to them is exactly what they need and nothing more, not a bit more, just exactly what they need?
The good thing about being software as a service right now is that you can start consuming things in bite sizes. You can first start with a simple thing. Let's say I just start my financial system. I want to get my financial things in order, my accounts payables, my accounts receivables. Once you're comfortable with that, and just keep in mind, now I want to go and fix my HR. So you can always, in the same thing, you start consuming. It's just like me and my Astro package, right? So I bought one package. I like it, and then suddenly there's something I can consume that for 2 months, watch my cricket, and after 2 months, switch it off. So the same concept is coming to software as a service. So that's how our customers can go and try it out, test it out, consume it, and if they don't like it, meaning they're not ready for it.
Yeah.
Like sometimes organizations are not ready for it.
I completely understand that.
They'll say, I want to go into IR 4.0. Next thing they realize is, my God, the amount of data is coming. They're unable to process it, right? So then they say, okay, can we switch it off? Yep, sure, no problem. Just switch it off for a while. When you are ready, we come back to it again.
Yeah. Does that mean that your role now has changed? Not just your role per se, as Mr. Jarvis Singh, but of course the role as Oracle, it's now more of a consultative role, trying to understand better the client's needs and consult and improve their business altogether.
The fundamental, I would say, the DNA transformation Oracle has gone through is we were originally a company that focused on developing, you know, cutting edge software.
Yeah.
We put it into a CD and we'll send you a pack of 10 CDs. And then you will go and buy the hardware from somebody else. You'll hire one consultant from somewhere else. And then you hire another security person somewhere else. And then all that is sitting with you. So you are managing a massive project. Yeah. And that's why ERP projects those days used to take 2 years, 3 years, 4 years rollout.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nowadays, what we are doing is we are giving you a service. I won't even use the word software service. Here, we are a service provider.
Yeah.
And my whole job is to make sure that my sales, my customer success managers, my consulting, we are all in a services business. So our job is to let our customers consume our services and then when they are ready to consume more. And in this whole thing right now, our services gets enhanced every 3 months. I'm sure your phone gets updated every 3-4 months or maybe, I'm sure.
No, I think it's far shorter than that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So that same concept right now is in the business right now, in the enterprise space where they need to have, that's why you've got things like chief digital officer.
Mm.
You've got chief technology officer. Mm. A CIO's job has changed. A CFO's job has changed. Mm. Right now they are into consuming enhancements, adopting enhancements. There's no more IT. Now you need to be a business analyst. How do you bring new capabilities into the company?
I had the privilege to interview a company that has three very distinct roles, chief data officer, chief digital officer, chief technology officer, and chief information officer. And what was interesting is that all four of them were able to define their roles perfectly and they were not contradicting each other. I don't know what school they went to, but but that is the future of the organization. And of course, that has been a situation where the company fully appreciates living in the 21st century.
Yes.
This same company, of course, did not have any trouble performing during the pandemic. And what I find troubling is that a lot of Malaysian companies, let's just focus here in this country first, is that without the pandemic, mm-hmm. The technology adoption would be far slower than what was anticipated.
Yep.
I've had the managing partner of McKinsey on the show. He was talking about the greatest impetus to adopting technology. It's not the CEO, it's not the technology itself, it's not all of this, it's the pandemic.
Yeah.
And would you say that you would use this opportunity to not throw this crisis away as an opportunity and try to get as much of your clients adopting software as a service, or at least as you would call it, service outright?
Yeah.
Is this the time for all the companies to actually think about this really hard and start investing?
Well, I give you a simple example, right? About 3 years ago, UEM Group decided to sign up with Oracle, right? There was a group. Fast track right now. Pandemic starts within 1 month, right? I remember I was talking to the CFO of the subsidiary, right? Plus,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And not speaking about age or anything at all, but here's a lady who was so used to going to work, right? Finance department, morning, go to work.
Mm.
And suddenly, you cannot go to this thing called office.
Mm.
And to her surprise, all she needed was just a Wi-Fi connection from home, and she could reach to the cloud, reach to the whatever the URL was, and to her surprise, I'm able to. That's it. Her office was right in front of her.
Yeah, fantastic. We'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll conclude our conversation with Jasbir Singh of Oracle Malaysia. Thanks for staying on with us. I have Jasbir Singh of Oracle. Let's go into Nostradamus mode right now and prognosticate the future. The ability for us to see the trends sometimes is quite clear, but there are times when we really don't expect some changes to happen. What have you seen that has been a little bit interesting for you to observe, perhaps something worrying, and of course something that is very much something that you really want to see happening when it comes to large-scale enterprises adopting technology?
The one thing that, my first program was written on a punch card. So I've come from that era of doing in punch card. I've gone to...
I hesitate to guess your age.
And I've been through the whole era of C, C++, Java. Nowadays, you've got, there's no more coding. It's very much an assembling of codes and packages, different approaches to things.
Yeah.
And for me, the future is going to be, tons and tons of data. You know that right now, from my Fitbit, right now, I've got maybe close to, about 400 megabytes of data for the last 5 years, right? We're using Fitbit. Now, the amount of data that's going to be being collected, right? If you look at healthcare industry, now, imagine if you're my doctor, you have to spend 7 years to go and get to become a doctor. On top of that, I'm going to send you my data to you.
Mm.
This is called patient pushed data. Then you got my own clinical data, my blood test results.
The whole set, yeah.
And I am putting so much of load on you, right, to make that, and within 20 minutes. You know why? Because my number 1131, I got 20 minutes with you. Next one is 1132, right?
Mm.
Our doctors and clinical staff are going to get burnout. If you just go and Google, right, you just type there, clinical burnouts, right? It's a big thing right now. And the only way that I see that we're going to eliminate that burnout among, because people work for, my son is going to become a doctor in 7 years, right? The amount of data you may push towards him, right? The world has to go, large enterprise, everyone from our education system, to our policies. Our Telemedicine Act was in 1997.
Right? Yeah.
So we need to all come together and understand that the volume of data that's required to be analyzed, the adoption of artificial intelligence, the adoption of IoT, right? This is an IoT device right now, right?
Yeah.
So all these things need to come, and everything coming right to the person who's going to decide on your life, on what tests he will do on you, right? They need help. They need to spend more, they need artificial intelligence, they need neural networks and stuff like that. So that's why large enterprise in the healthcare or other, they need to understand that artificial intelligence is going to come your way. You don't need to hire data scientists, but you need to embrace this thing, because if not, your employees will not be able to comprehend the amount of volume of data is coming their way. Mm. That's why you need artificial intelligence to help with the medical coders, to help with the doctors, not to replace them, but to actually keep an eye, make sure that, you know, some mistakes are not made, right? Normal stuff can be picked up by AI. Give suggestions rather than doctors spending time looking at charts and trying to analyze. Start from a suggestion.
Correspondingly, do you think that this is a bright future for talents, young girls, young boys right now watching this? They would look at this as an opportunity to...
Oh, yes. I think the younger generation... In fact, about a week ago, I was just trying to understand what's a medical coder. A medical coder earns about 65,000 Malaysian ringgit, right? But if you compare that with how much a medical coder gets paid in Australia or in UAE, it's much higher. And they are the most important block between what the doctor writes on the chart to what gets keyed in the system and what gets billed. And if there's a mistake is being made, and these charts are getting complex year after year because the coding is like, let's say you've got a small little abscess over here.
Yeah.
The guy will write a whole chart around the surgery, but to convert that into what drug was used, what was performed, all these are codes. And there are books that are this thick that a medical coder needs to understand to convert a report into a billable. Now, these records are there. Healthcare industry has got the largest amount of data because they already had the standards for codifications of reports into something. Now, that data is out there. All they got to do is bring all the data into a platform where AI can go into that so that we can scan this document and let it get converted by AI and let a coder verify it. That's how then a coder can spend time validating rather than doing the codification.
Fantastic. Bright future.
For younger generation, I think, you go and do your medical course or maybe a nursing course, but then you use artificial intelligence to help you, right, in your job.
Bright future.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that was all the time we had with Jasbir Singh, the Vice President of Applications at Oracle Malaysia. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to Astro Awani, perhaps even driven by AI in the app, try to watch all these kind of episodes there. You can also watch these kind of episodes on your mobile application. Download the Astro Awani app, wherever you get the application. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.